that can hear this to hear this. It's so important because this is what God wants to do. Through the Word of God, God wants to extend a hand as if He was in heaven. And I know He's here right now, but picture Him extending His hand down. Not just down, perhaps in terms of location, physically, but for someone that may feel far below where they want to be spiritually. God is reaching His hand down. And in just a few moments, as the Word of God gives you clear direction, you just reach your hand up. And there's going to be a connection that changes your life forever. It would be easy just to let this flow go. But God is wanting to reach His hand out to somebody through His Word so that somebody can say, I'll take that, God. I'll take that healing. I'll take that forgiveness. I'll take that miracle. I'll take that blessing. Oh, isn't He an awesome God? Praise the name of the Lord. So from 2 Timothy 2, and let me say again, because it's important for somebody to hear this, because God is about to speak to you directly. You might think He's just pointing His finger at you. He's not doing that. It's going to be that personal that you'll feel like, man, He has singled me out. He hasn't singled you out in way of pointing a finger at you. He singled you out in a way of saying, I'm lifting my hand out to you. I'm reaching my hand out to you. And as I reach my hand out to you, if you will reach up and grab it, everything in your life will change. One service still does change a life forever. It absolutely, not because of me or us, but that's how awesome God is. That's how real God is. Anybody ever had a service that changed your life? Just wave your hand. Just look around you. If God would do that for them, God's here to do that for you. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 4. There's a war going on in the heavenly, so the scripture says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for miracles and signs and wonders, not just for this church, but for individuals in particular, that your power to heal, to save, to deliver through your word, by your spirit, that individuals here today will have a testimony that my life was forever changed. My past was forever relieved of that stranglehold on my future. And I have stepped forward into the purpose of God. Can you say in Jesus' name? You may be seated. Last week, I preached Chosen. And God spoke dramatically to individuals. Some I know personally. Some have already shared with me how God was talking to them. Chosen. They realized, I am chosen. I'm hoping that someone here today that maybe was not here last Sunday, or perhaps maybe you were here but you didn't really connect. Well, is that really me? That you'll see that word again, chosen. And you'll say, wait a minute, God has chosen me. These are the last days. And as a church, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are smack dab in the middle of the will of God in these last days as a church family. There's no doubt about it. We are influencing the world, and that influence will only be exponential as we are united in the will of God as a church family. But God has not just chosen this church. He has chosen individuals in particular, and I want you to look at this verse again. I'm not trying to bore you with repetition, but look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You are chosen, and I am chosen. And that verse is not there to ridicule us or somehow to make us feel, well, I must be a mess if God chose me. No, the reason why that verse is there is because somebody like me and somebody like you is going to go through a circumstance where we might think, well, God might choose him, but he'd never choose me. And God is saying, throw that type of thinking away from your life and hear my word and embrace the reality that I am chosen. Amen. And so again, this is not a repeat of last week's message, but it is an opportunity for somebody to get on board and say, God has talked to me. I am chosen. I am chosen. Now, at the risk of being a little bit silly, I have prepared a quiz because I do want to know if you were paying attention last week. If you get the answers right, lunch is on the way. If you get the answers wrong, it's going to be a long day. Now, it's a multiple choice test. So hear the choices and shout out A, B, or C. And even if a couple people get it wrong, if enough of us get it right, we'll just move on. Are you ready? According to last week's message, many are called, but few are A, frozen, B, posing, like a selfie or a lonely, or supposing, or C, chosen. Many are called, but few are frozen, posing, or chosen. The correct answer is?
C.
All right, so good so far. Now, this will take a little bit more. The questions get more complicated. Now that you are chosen, take the next A, bus, B, flight, or C, step. I'll give you a moment to think about it. We don't want to mess this up. The answer is
C.
Now that you are chosen, just take the next step. That's all. One more question. Lunch is coming. Okay. I know I am chosen. So the question is A, so what? Or B, when what? Or C, now what? The answer is?
C.
Oh, bring in the pizza, gentlemen. You have to use your imagination for that part. The point is this. I want you that know you are chosen, and I believe everybody's chosen, to contemplate for just a moment, now what? What should I do if I am chosen? And our verse says, if you are chosen, please him that has chosen you. Just take the next step in your life in pleasing him. In fact, the scripture says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So in order to take the next step, you might have to get rid of some stuff. And I'm not going to tell you what that stuff is. Really, in some respect, that's really not my business, especially in this moment. But why not say, God, I know I'm chosen. I'm going to live to please you because you chose me. And if anything is entangling me from taking the next step, God, I'm asking you to set me free. Praise God. So just three things very quickly. I know I'm chosen. Now what? What should I do now? The first thing is take one step to deepen your relationship with God. Just take one, no matter how deep your relationship with God is now, embrace the reality He has chosen me. I want to please Him because He chose me. I'm just going to take one more step towards getting closer to Him. That may be impacted by how much time you spend in His Word, or how much time you spend in prayer, or how much time you spend, or your reaction to His presence. I don't want to fill in the blanks for you. Really, this is your test. I'm just kind of the proctor for a few moments. But I'm begging you to believe that you are chosen. And the fact that you are chosen is not that somewhere out there 10 years from now, God's going to give you an epiphany. No. The epiphany is happening in this moment. Take a step in the direction of pleasing God that says, Lord, if I wasn't chosen, maybe I wouldn't pray this way. If I wasn't chosen, maybe I wouldn't get into the Word the way I'm getting in the Word now. In fact, Lord, I've had a walk with you, but I feel like I'm chosen to go to another level. And so somehow, some way, I'm going to deepen my relationship with you. Amen. At the men's conference, something was said that I want to incorporate into my life, and I would like to throw it out there for all of you to consider. Brother Shock said, why not do a Bible study, a personal Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit? Each one, love, joy, peace, patience, just go down the list, study what each one is. And then he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, place yourself on that scale. Like patience. If you can't even be behind somebody at a red light without cussing, you're closer to a 1 than a 10. I'm not going to judge you. I'm just saying that's how this works. So do the Bible study on each of those fruit of the Spirit, and then write down, where do I think I am on a scale of 1 to 10? And then part of deepening my relationship with the Lord is saying, God, because I'm chosen, if I'm just a 1 when it comes to patience, I want to take the next step and be just a little bit more patient by the power of the Holy Ghost. In fact, maybe even my kids will say, what happened to Daddy? He was patient. Why? Because I'm chosen. And being chosen is going to impact every area of my life in a way that is real and in a way that helps me impact my world in a way that pleases God. So I'm asking you, deepen your relationship with God in some way. Take the next step. Number two, there's only three. Do you get that? We're almost halfway. So number two, now that I know I'm chosen, I will take the next step in serving God faithfully in the little things. In the little things. And I don't want to give you too many examples. But I do want to throw this verse at you, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Colossians 3, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. One example of this, and there are so many, is David. His dad says, go take care of the sheep. And then the dad turns to all the other brothers and says, you men, you real men, you go off to war and you fight the enemy. Well, man, if I'm David, I'm feeling kind of shamed by that. You mean I got to take care of these little sheep while my brothers get all the important jobs? That's when David had to serve faithfully in the little things. In something that looked like, well, this must not be all that important. Other people are not even worried about it. But you know what, God? If this is my opportunity to serve you, I'm just going to take the next step. And I'm going to serve you faithfully in the little things. There are some of you that if we gave you the mic, you could probably get up here and teach us a lesson that would blow our minds. I don't really mean that facetiously as it might sound. But if God has not opened the door for you to do that, find something that nobody else is doing and say, I want to do this as unto the Lord. I want to take the next step. Come on, if you're on the Martha ministry, you ought to serve in that ministry as critically and as powerfully as anybody serving in any more visible ministry. Just say to the Lord, God, whatever my hands find to do, I'm going to do it with all my might. Why? Because I know I am chosen. I know I am chosen. One of the biggest needs that comes around here in any church family is helping people that are hurting. I'm talking about your own brothers and sisters. It's so easy for needs to get missed. And someone needs something, and it seems like nobody sees it. If you see it, meet the need. If you see it, oh God, I'm going to take a step in serving you faithfully by helping someone that has a need. Why? Because I know I'm chosen. And it may just be a small thing, making a meal. It may just seem like a small thing, making a phone call. It may seem like a small thing, checking up on someone that's hurting. But God, I know I'm chosen. And so I'm going to take the next step in serving you faithfully, even in the little things. Someone said this, he who sees a need and waits to be asked for help is as unkind as if he had refused it. How many of you have ever had this idea come to you like it's come to me, and I confess? You know there's a need. Thank God nobody's asked me to do that. I'm off the hook. Well, you know, when you're chosen, you're not off the hook. When you're chosen, you don't have to wait to be asked. If you see the need, you just take a step towards being faithful in something that you know what? It may seem small, but you know if you can do it in a big way, it can make an impact. What am I saying? I'm saying everybody in here is chosen, and I'm begging you to take the next step in deepening your relationship with God and take the next step in deepening your service for God. Why? Because I know I'm chosen, and I've got to do something about it. And sometimes when we're chosen, there's all kinds of question marks. God, where are you taking me? And God, what is your plan for me? And God, I thought you were going to use me, and it doesn't seem like I'm being used. And sometimes even chosen people get paralyzed by all the confusing questions. I'm saying break out of that entanglement and say, wait a minute, I know what I can do. I can please him that has chosen me. I can get rid of entanglements and distractions, and I can please him that has chosen me. Oh, as you clap your hands right now, would you say, Lord, help me to please you. Help me to please you in my relationship with you. Help me to please you in my service for you. And finally, and I close with this, deepen your relationship with God. Deepen your service for God. And deepen your faith in God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And I believe there's a lot of people in this building that got lots of faith. But what I'm saying is take the next step in deepening that faith that God can do anything. That God can do anything. A couple weeks ago, we find out about the hurricane. Because we're a church that just gives and gives and gives and gives. And sometimes we give money we don't even have. Just to show God we believe in his word. Give and it shall be given. And the need was so great. And there was a little bird on my windowsill said, oh, you can't do nothing. That need's so great. There's other people stepping in. I mean, the president's writing a check for $1 million. What are you going to do? But that's when faith steps in. That's when faith says, wait a minute, I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something. And not only that, I got an awesome church. And so I'm letting Brother Tuttle know, we're going to help you. I don't know how, but we're going to help you. Because as a church, we can make an impact that we can never make on our own. And so Brother Fred got involved, as some of you have gotten involved in other projects, so I'm not just trying to pick him out. All of us do this at one point or another. We all try to do what we can with what we have. And he started making connections in the community. In fact, Brother Silverest up here was helping him, trying to get good deals. And before you know it, the cost that we should be paying for construction equipment and sheetrock and all that, when we finally paid the bill for that, it was 40% less than the price you see on the shelves. 40% less. And then when we go to get the trucks, because, man, none of us have big trucks just in our backyard. And the price for those trucks was 40% less than what it would be if you just walked in there today and said, I need some trucks. And then you folks just started giving and giving. And there are some that for them giving $5 was a great sacrifice, but they gave it. But I'm telling you, from everywhere to $5 to $5,000, people made the sacrifice and said, wait a minute, I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I'm going to do the very best with what I have. Why? Because I'm chosen. And chosen people don't sit on the sidelines. Chosen people don't just watch the show go by. Chosen people get in the game. Chosen people get on the field. Chosen people say, whatever I can do, I will do it. And so with all the deals and all the blessings and all the favor, we literally spent every dollar that came in on materials, and basically all of the transportation there and back was free. That's pretty awesome. And that happens when you deepen your faith, when you say, you know what, I'm just going to trust God. And so what I am saying is take the next step in practicing God's purpose, expecting God's power. The hallmark verse for this, show us, gentlemen, Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And what I'm saying is practice that. Practice God's purpose. Practice God's power. Just do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Well, I did it and nothing happened. Just keep doing it again and again and again. Deepen your faith. Do what the Word of God says, regardless of the outcome. And if you will practice His purpose, practice His power, you will see why He has chosen you. Wow. Now there is a little disclaimer. Don't practice grabbing up snakes. Don't practice drinking deadly things. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I don't see in the Bible where the disciples went looking for devils. But when they showed up, they didn't back down. Don't be telling me there's devils in your house and devils in your friend and devils in your spouse. Don't go looking for devils. But when they show up, don't back down. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, I plead the blood of Jesus. You know why? Because I'm chosen, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because I'm chosen. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn for good. Because I'm chosen. I'm going to practice it. I was in cross training today, great class, and Sister Mary told this amazing testimony about a woman she met. And the woman saw Sister Mary praying for somebody, not in church, but in the community. And later on, there was a conversation that followed where the woman said, "You're Pentecostal, aren't you?" "Yeah, I knew it." And Sister Mary said, "Now, when I prayed," and she referenced a situation, and she said, I wasn't speaking in tongues, but I was pleading the blood." Yeah. "Oh, you was practicing." And she said, so the woman referenced that conversation, and she said, or referenced that prayer, and she said, "You know what? I grew up a certain religion, and I made fun of people that were tongue talkers. I made fun of people that were apostolic like that. But," she said, "I am bipolar." And she said, "So I have some major medical issues." And she said, "7 years ago, I was in my car driving, and I had an episode that frightened me so much that I had to pull the car over, and I was weeping, and I was worried. There was a knock at my door, and there was a little lady that said, 'Are you okay?' She said, 'No, I'm not okay.' And so the lady said, 'Can I pray for you?' And she told Sister Mary, that lady began to pray for me, and she started speaking in other tongues, and the power of God hit me in that car." And she said, "Mary, that was 7 years ago. I haven't taken my medicine. I haven't had another episode. And so I don't make fun of Pentecostals anymore. I don't make fun of apostolics anymore." You know why? Because you are chosen. You are chosen. This world needs you now. This world needs you now to practice the power, the purpose of God. Oh, would you clap your hands as if to say, that's not just good preaching, but that's a good reminder that I am chosen. I will pray with people everywhere. I will pray with people every chance I get. I will pray with people and exercise my faith because I want to deepen my faith in God. Because I'm chosen. Because I'm chosen. Let's everybody stand. Praise God. Praise God. I am looking at a congregation of chosen people. And in this congregation, I'm looking at individuals that have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you might have a laundry list of your failures. You might have a laundry list of your fears. You might have a laundry list of all the things that you regret about your past, but I'm telling you, Jesus is reaching his hand towards you today. And he's saying, if you can forget about all of that junk and just admit, if God said it, I'm chosen. If God's word promised it, I'm chosen. So I cannot promise anybody I'm going to be a super spiritual superhero, but I will take the next step to deepen my relationship with God. I will take the next step to deepen my service for God. I will take the next step to deepen my faith in God. For some of you, that next step is repenting of your sins. For some of you, that next step is to get a hold of one of these elders and say, "Would you baptize me today in Jesus' name?" For some of you, that next step is to come to the altar in just a moment and throw your hands up as if to say, "God, if you're reaching down for me, I'm reaching up for you, and I want you to fill me with your power." And while you're worshiping him and praising him, his spirit's going to take over, and your life is going to be changed forever because you are chosen. And that next step for some of you is to make a commitment to a deeper personal relationship, to make a commitment to a greater involvement in serving, to make a commitment. Beginning this very week, I will pray wherever I can pray for somebody. I will minister to wherever I can minister to somebody. Why? Because I'm chosen. So I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I want the elders to come and stand before the pulpit and face the congregation. Bring the prayer list. Just face the congregation with that list in a position that you're ready to pray. And I want you to know right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's any sick among us, we can call for the elders of the church and they will pray the prayer of faith and God will raise up in healing, in victory. If there's anybody that's facing anything that may be very private, but you know you need the power of God, not only these elders are standing by, but there are believers all around you that are ready to practice the power and the purpose of God. So if you need God in any way, shape, or form, if you need an answer to prayer in any way, shape, or form, would you start coming to the altar? Because a lot of people are coming, so we want to give you the first shot. If you need a miracle in your body, a miracle in your life, a miracle in your family, now as these have come, we need believers to come and pray with these elders for the power of God to fall. Come on, anybody that wants to practice their faith in God right now, anybody that wants to participate in the power of God right now, would you come and link up with somebody and pray the prayer of faith. Come on, believers, believers, believers. Come on, come on and deepen your faith in God by praying for somebody that's sick, praying for somebody that's hurting, praying for somebody that needs a miracle.
To be a saint.